right, man, it is so good to see you on this holiday weekend. Welcome to the Edge Church. I'm Pastor Ryan, and I am so glad to see you here this morning. Today, we're really excited. We're kicking off a brand new teaching series called Prayer Changes Everything. Prayer changes everything. I really believe that. And today, we're going to talk about some of the most powerful aspects of prayer because, listen, your prayer life has the ability to change everything that's going on in your life. In fact, wherever you look at your life and evaluate your own personhood and where you are and whatever you'd like to see change, listen, when you communicate with God, you have the capacity to see tremendous change take place in your own life. So I'm excited today as we kick off this new teaching series, and let me invite you to grab those notes and your Bible there, and you can follow along with where we're going this morning. And while you're doing that, if you are a newcomer to the Edge Church, I hope that you will come to the newcomers cookout on Friday evening over at Gina and I's house. We'd love to have an opportunity to meet you and to get you to know you a little bit more. And you can sign up on your connection card, and we'll put you on the list this week. And if you've already signed up, we'll look forward to seeing you this Friday. But we're going to have a great time together this Friday evening at our newcomers cookout. But prayer changes everything. Interestingly enough, the disciples came to Jesus and asked him to teach them to pray. And what really is so interesting about that is because in the Hebrew culture, the Jews prayed all the time. The disciples, the 12, the faithful that followed Jesus, they had prayed since they were little bitty kids. In fact, historians tell us the average Jew would pray between 2 and 3 hours a day. They would pray when they got up. They would pray before they went to bed. They would pray before meals. They would pray all throughout the day. And prayer was just part of being a Jew. But the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Jesus, we want you to teach us to pray." Well, why would they ask Jesus to teach them to pray? Because they already prayed all the time. It was because they saw this connection between prayer and power in the life of Jesus. When Jesus began to pray about things, things began to happen. Things began to shake. Things began to turn. Things began to twist. And they said, "You know what? We want to pray like he prays." And so Jesus began to teach the disciples to pray. You know, there's not one of us here today that doesn't long for and desire to have a divine connection with God. The ability to really pray about things and to see things happen, to see change take place. All of us want to see change take place. In fact, even atheist agnostics sometimes even pray to God. Larry King, the famous television host, who is a self-proclaimed agnostic, wrote a book on prayer several years ago. And you may think, well, what in the world would an agnostic, why would he write a book about prayer? Because he was so intrigued by all of the family members and friends and acquaintances that he had that told him about the power of prayer. And his book outlines all of these conversations that he had with so many friends and loved ones about prayer. You see, inside of the heart of Larry King was this desire to know God and to believe that maybe, just maybe, prayer might make a difference. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that your prayer life could really make a huge difference? Do you believe that prayer could change everything going on in your life today? Well, there's some important concepts that we have to begin to wrap our brain around in order to really understand what the Bible teaches about prayer. In fact, some of the things that we think about prayer may not be correct, may not be true. And there may be some things about prayer that you've never heard of or never thought about before that we're going to download this week and the following week as we study the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6. And I want to read this passage to you because Jesus begins to teach the 12 about how to pray. And this is what he says. "This is how you should pray," Matthew 6, 9. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Let's focus our attention on the first part of this prayer this morning. The first little part here, verses 9 and 10. But before we get there, many of us have heard the Lord's Prayer over and over and over again. In fact, You may not even be a follower of Jesus, but you probably have heard the Lord's Prayer sung at a wedding, or you've heard somebody recite it, or you've seen it in a movie or something like that. It is perhaps the most famous passage of Scripture in the New Testament. People know the Lord's Prayer. In fact, I grew up in an Episcopalian school, and we said the Lord's Prayer every single day at chapel. And by the time I was in the first grade, I could say it forwards and backwards and probably even in pig Latin, you know? We said it all of the time. In fact, I used to know the Lord's Prayer even in Spanish, which is kind of tricky because I'm terrible at foreign languages. But the Lord's Prayer is one of those very familiar passages of Scripture. But listen, in the middle of its familiarity, sometimes the power can be overlooked because we just go on to autopilot. Yeah, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Yeah, I heard all that, done all that, know all that. And sometimes we don't slow down enough to really understand and to take apart the meaning that's revealed here. So I'm really praying for you today that God's going to give you some fresh insight, some fresh perspective today, perhaps on a text of Scripture that is very familiar. And sometimes that is a challenge. But notice with me today, there's several reasons why we should pray the Lord's Prayer. Number one, prayer keeps me focused. When we begin to pray in the pattern of Jesus, when we begin to pray a prayer like this, we begin to be focused. Have you ever been praying about something? You're like, God, thank you for today and bless this and change that. And then you look down and you're like, I've got a hangnail. You know? I mean, right in the middle of the prayer. And then all of a sudden, you just start to really get into one of those moments with God. You're talking to God. And then you remember all the things that you need to add to your to-do list. So you grab a pen and you start writing things down, you know? We can experience prayer ADD. Prayer ADD. I call it PAD. Prayer ADD. It's when our mind goes all over the place the moment that we begin to get alone with God. Praying through the Lord's Prayer will focus our prayers, so we don't do that. Second of all, it focuses us on becoming me-centered in our prayers. In other words, the Lord's Prayer deals with praying for others. It deals with giving thanks to and praise to God. It deals with a lot of things. But if we're really honest with ourselves, most of our prayers deal with what we need. And that certainly is a part of prayer, but that's not all of prayer, because prayer is not all about us. We need to be praying for other people, and we need to be giving thanks to God, and there's so many other aspects of prayer. The Lord's Prayer unpacks that. And then thirdly, the praying the Lord's Prayer keeps my prayer life balanced, where I'm not just confessing sin, or I'm not just praising God, or I'm not just asking God for this, but I am praying through all of the major components and aspects of prayer. And when Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer, he didn't mean necessarily that we would just pray the Lord's Prayer, but that we would pray in the pattern. That's why he said, in this manner you should pray. You ought to pray through the major objectives of this prayer. So you may think today, man, I want to pray. I don't know where to start. I mean, I don't know where to go. I don't know where to begin. Well, then start to look at the Lord's Prayer and listen to what we're talking about today, because prayer begins, number one, with admiring God's character. Admiring God's character. That's what we call adoration, or magnifying the name of the Lord. I love that word, to magnify, because it means to make something big. You know, if you've ever looked through a magnifying glass, you look through that magnifying glass and whatever you're looking at on the other end gets bigger, doesn't it? It begins to be magnified. You can see it with greater detail. You can see it with greater clarity. And when you begin to praise God, when you begin to thank God, when you begin to admire God for who he is and what he has done, it begins to magnify the character of God in your mind. Now, you're not making God bigger just because you begin to give him praise, but what you're doing is you're reminding yourself, you're teaching yourself that God is a great, great God. And we give God praise by thanking him for who he is. That's his character and his nature. And then what he has done. And that's where we begin, with admiring the character of God, to magnify him. And it means to really to brag on God. Now notice it says our Father. And I love that word Father, because God is our heavenly Father. Notice it doesn't say God is our boss. It doesn't say God is our brother. It doesn't say God is our friend. It says God is our Father. And there's no word that I think really communicates the heart of God more than the spiritual father. You know, as a father, I have a new perspective on the Lord's Prayer. I have kids that are 3 and 4 years old, little kids. And, you know, as a father, man, I want to bless my kids. I want to take care of my kids. I want to buy them everything that they want for Christmas. Now, I may not be able to do that, but I sure do want to. And you do too. If you've got kids, you want to bless your kids. You want to take care of your kids because you love them as a parent and you have a relationship with them. And the result of that is that you want to be generous. You want to bless. And I love the word father because it reveals to us the love and the nurture and the connection and the connectivity that God wants to feel with us as his children, our Father who art in heaven. And God is not just a cosmic force. Man, he's just not some ancient being that's out there in the middle of nowhere. But he is our Father. And then it says he's in heaven. You know, our Father who's in heaven, that shows his dominion, his power, his greatness, his grandeur, if you will. And when we begin to focus on that, it begins to set the tone for everything else in prayer. You see, what we do a lot of times is we say, okay, I'm going to pray. Let me get my list up. God, I need you to do this. I need you to change that. I need you to do this over here. But listen, if we would back up and begin to focus on the nature and the character of God for just a moment, it would really begin to change the way that we make requests of God because we would begin to reflect on the bigness and the greatness of who he really is. And that's why Jesus said, listen, when you start to pray, it's hallowing the name of God, our Father who art in heaven. There's adoration, there's worship, there's praise. I don't play a lot of golf, but from time to time I play. And if you walk up to a par 3, kind of a short hole, should be relatively easy. And you get out your club, and you're gonna hit the ball. You're going to, first of all, make sure that you've got your shoulders square. You're going to keep that left arm straight. You're going to keep your eye on the ball, going to keep your head down, and you're going to just going to nail the ball. You know, you're going to hit it. But if you look up and you see there's a huge body of water there in front of you, what begins to happen? Now, I'm sure many of you are much better golfers than I am, but what I do is I kind of psych myself out. I mean, I go and I get the oldest ball out of my bag, you know, one that's got like a hole in it. And then I start to tense up my shoulders, you know, because I'm like, oh, the water's there, you know. And then I kind of lose my form and I bend my arm and I try to, you know, swing it like a baseball bat with too much power. And inevitably, as I lose my focus, that ball goes straight across the lily pads and into the water. And I believe that when we begin to magnify the name of God, God begins to focus us on the things that we need to be focused on in order that we can hit the ball to where it needs to go. You see, a lot of times we are focused on the barriers more than we are the end goal. And when we take our eye off the ball in prayer, then we begin to skip it across the water. God wants us to focus on him and on his grandeur and his character, magnifying, praising the name of the Lord. That's why the psalmist said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. There's many things to praise God for. His grace. We could thank God for his acceptance in spite of our own sin. The Bible tells us Jesus lived a perfect life, that he died on a cross. Then he was raised from the grave in order that we could have new life. By the way, that's a great place to start praising and thanking God, isn't it? I mean, if you don't know what else to thank God for or what else to say in prayer, you could just start by saying thank you for sending Jesus to die and raise again. And then for God's goodness, you know, that God wants to bless us and God wants to provide for us. He is a loving Father. His greatness, you know, when we begin to think about the greatness of God, it begins to make our problems look small, right? And when we begin to think about God's character, the fact that he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's omnipresent, I mean, all of the divine attributes of God, we begin to think about that, then all of our problems begin to look real small, don't they? You know? But before we got into prayer, those problems looked so big. You know, the prayer The prayer helps us magnify God, not magnify the problems. And then his gifts. God has given us many gifts, our family, our church, our friends, our job, and so many other things. You know, I would challenge you this week to commit to memorize the Lord's Prayer. If you don't know it by memory already, many of us may already know it. But listen, if you don't know it, a great spiritual goal for you would be to memorize this very powerful passage of Scripture. Because listen, wherever you are, even if you don't have a Bible or a notebook, and you need to pray, and you want to pray, when you begin to think about this outline that was taught by Jesus, then you can begin to pray through these major points, and you can pray all of the time with such spontaneity and such power. Now, life is not all about us, and we need to pray a lot more for things than just things that are on our wish list. God is the one who is sovereign and not me. And that's why we need to pray for the will of God. Okay, we need to pray for the will of God. Ask for God's will. Notice Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. We're praying for the will of God. Now, we pray most of the time according to our limited knowledge. Maybe you do what I do. God, here's the problem. Here's what I need you to do about it. Let me give you the solution. But I wonder if we could just back up one step and we could begin to look at this a little differently. What if we said, God, here is the problem. Here's what I'm concerned about. God, would you show me your will and your plan to navigate through these very dangerous and treacherous waters? Could you show me exactly how to handle that? Because sometimes the will of God is different from our will. And 1 John 5 tells us that when we begin to pray according to the will of God, that God hears our request. Notice 1 John 5. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So we need to pray according to the will of God. And a lot of what we call unanswered prayers is us trying to force our ideas on God. You know? By the way, God's will for your life is far, far, far superior than any plan that you may have. Do you believe that? I mean, sometimes we think we got it all figured out, God. I'm supposed to be here at this time, and when I'm this age, I'm supposed to have this accomplished, and then I'm supposed to do this, and we believe that we plan our whole life out, that we know all this stuff, but I want to tell you, the plan of God for your life is greater than any plan that you could come up with. So it's great to bring our requests to God, but they need to be submitted to the will of God as well. And until Jesus Christ comes again, we need to continue to pray for the kingdom of God to flourish. Notice it says, your kingdom come, your will be done. What does that mean? God wants the kingdom to be expanded. God wants more people coming in to the spiritual family. God wants more people following Jesus. That's why we need to pray regularly that the Edge Church would continue to grow and to reach out to our community. We've got a lot of darkness that we need to push out. And listen, when the kingdom of God is expanded, that's exactly what begins to happen. So we need to pray for the kingdom of God to expand. And we need to be inviting our neighbors and our friends to church. We need to be constantly reaching out to others and praying for people to know Christ in our community. That just ought to be part of what we do every single day as we pray. We ought to be praying for the will of God in all of these things. One of the things I'm praying for the will of God in is for a permanent building for the Edge Church. You know, we love meeting here. This is a great place. We're thankful for it. We were in a tiny, tiny, tiny little school only a few months ago. And we just began to outgrow that place. And God opened up this door for us after about 6 months of prayer. We had been told no, that we could not meet here previously, but we kept praying about it, and God opened the door, and we were able to move here. This is a great facility. But you know what? This is not the end-all, be-all. To go where we need to go, we need to have our own building. And I'm praying for the will of God to be revealed to our church very soon about what God wants us to do in the area of facilities. And I would hope that you would join me in praying for that as well as you pray for our church. Pray for a permanent place that we could meet. And when we pray, we oftentimes end our prayers with the word amen. You know, that's like the the perfect word to end a prayer, amen. Amen is a great word. It's actually a Hebrew word, and it doesn't translate that well into English, and so the writers of Scripture just left the word amen in this Hebrew word. It's not translated. It just means amen. It means let it be according to the will of God. That is the desire of every person, man, to pray in accordance with the will of God. So when we say amen, we're praying, we're saying, let it be done according to the will of God. And so we are asking for God's will. Now we have to learn to live with God's will as our first priority. And God's will is always bigger and better than ours. When we ask God for lots of things, sometimes we just put the God sticker on it. You know, God, I want this, God sticker. I want that, God sticker. I want this over here, God sticker. But if we could just back up for just a moment and begin to really understand the will of God, it would change the way that we prayed. Now, somebody's thinking to themselves, Ryan, that sounds really cool, but how do you know the will of God? You know, the Bible reveals the will of God oftentimes. Read the Scripture. Study the Scripture. If the Bible doesn't reveal the will of God, let the Holy Spirit reveal that to you. He's really good at that. He is. And if you still don't know, you just keep praying and say, God, I'm dumb and I'm stupid. Just show me, you know. And he has a way of doing that as well. So just continue to pray until God shows you what his plan is. Warren Wiersbe, the famous Christian writer, once said, the purpose of prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven, but it's getting God's will done on earth. So we need to find out what God wants to do and then go do it, instead of trying to change everything. Now, how do we pray for the will of God? Here's one thing. Pray for your life, okay? Pray for your life. Pray for God to reveal his plan for your family, your finances, your future, your work, whatever it is that's going on in your life, pray for yourself to know the will of God in all of the major areas. And then second of all, pray for your family. You know, pray for your family. If you have children, pray for your children. If you have parents, pray for your parents. If you have other relatives that you need to pray for them. But pray for your family and pray for the will of God to be done in every aspect of your family. Pray for your church. You know, pray for unity in the church. Listen, if there's not unity in the church cannot accomplish what God intends for it to do. So we ought to pray for a great spirit of unity, and we ought to also pray for God to use the Edge Church to advance the kingdom of God so that people can be redeemed, people can be saved, people can be delivered, people can be transformed. That's the work and the ministry of the church. So we ought to pray for that. We ought to pray for spiritual growth and development. And I would appreciate you praying for me. You know, the Apostle Paul asked for the congregation there at Ephesus to pray for him in Ephesians 6:19. So I'd like to ask you to pray for me as well. He said, also pray that God will give me the right words to say. Then when I speak boldly, I will reveal the mystery of the good news. And that's really every pastor's hope, is that his congregation would pray for him in that way, that whenever I speak the word of God, that people's lives would be impacted and changed. And then we ought to pray for our nation. We ought to pray for our country. We ought to pray for our rulers of government, 1 Timothy 2:1-2 says. And we ought to pray for our political leaders, and even the ones we didn't vote for, you know? Sometimes that's kind of hard. We're like, well, I didn't vote for her anyway, so why should I pray for them, right? But you know what? You might need to pray for them even more. I don't know. But we ought to pray for all of our political rulers and our president and our senators and our governor and people like that. We ought to pray for our nation. And these are just several examples, and we could go into many others that the Bible talks about. But here is a great starter. Pray for the will of God in these areas. And the critical question is, well, if God knows everything anyway, then why should I pray about it? Have you ever asked yourself that question before? You know? Like, if God knows everything, then why do I need to talk to him about it? Here's the answer. God is a father, and we have a relationship with him. He's not a vending machine. God wants to have a relationship with you. How is God going to develop a relationship with you? By spending time with you, by talking with you. So God is all about the relationship. You're not telling God things he doesn't know when you pray. You're establishing relationship with him. And the Bible tells us that prayer moves the hand that moves the world. So we ought to be praying accordingly. And then as we do that, we pray for the will of God, we access God's provision. One version says, give us the food we need each day. Another translation says, give us this day our daily bread. Bread represents our most basic needs. It's not just talking about food, but our most basic needs. Here Jesus says to ask God for the needs that we have each day. Your basic needs. I don't know what all that may be. It may be different for every person here today. But if it matters to you, it matters to God. So ask God for the basic needs. Here's the problem. A lot of times what we do is we ask God for all of the stuff, right? That's not necessarily the needs, but they are the wants, you know? Not the necessities, but the niceties, if you will. We say, God, I'd like to have my daily bread, but put in some chocolate fondue with that, you know? Or, God, I need a new Bentley. You know, I'd look good in a new Bentley. God, could you bless me with that, you know? Jesus said, pray for your basic needs. Just pray for the basic things, man. And I love this idea here each day, or this daily bread, because a lot of times what we want to do is we want to see God take care of all of our needs 5 years, 10 years down the road. Well, am I going to have enough money for that? Am I going to be able to do this? And we worry so much about the future. But listen, part of walking with God is seeing God intervene in your life on a daily basis. And we need to learn to be content with that. The Hebrew people were wandering around in the wilderness, the book of Exodus tells us. They had no food. They were in a massive desert. And God provided food for them by this little thing called manna. You guys know what manna is? It was just this stuff, this food-like substance that was on the ground every morning when the people would wake up. And they would go and gather up the manna for that day, and they would snack on that. And I can't imagine what it would be like to eat manna for 40 years. You know, that sounds disgusting to eat anything daily. But I guess the Hebrew people were thankful at least that they had food. And the interesting thing about the manna was that it could not be stored. And so if the people went out and they gathered up enough manna for a week, then it would spoil by the next morning. God was teaching the Hebrew people their need to trust in Him, to follow Him on a daily basis. And God wants you to know that. God wants you to come to Him every single day. You know, in the 21st century where we have so much stuff and we have great jobs and great places to live and we've been blessed in so many different ways, it is hard sometimes for us to really trust God to take care of our daily needs, isn't it? But when we begin to do so, we begin to draw close to God. We begin to establish that relationship with Him. And notice it says, give us the food we need each day. In other words, we ought to pray for God's provision in the lives of other people, not just ourselves. And then Jesus goes on in Matthew chapter 6, and He refers to anxiety. You know, 5 times in Matthew chapter 6, after the Lord's Prayer, He talks about worry. Isn't that interesting? So He teaches the model prayer, then He begins to talk about worry right after it, because a lot of times we worry that God's not going to take care of our needs. And that's why Matthew 6:31 says, don't worry about having enough food and clothing. Why be like the heathen? For they take pride in all these things and they're deeply concerned about them. But your heavenly Father already knows perfectly well what you need, and He will give them to you. And you give Him, if you give Him first place in your life and live as He wants you to live. So the Bible says, don't worry. God wants you to replace worry with prayer. Every time that you begin to worry, turn that around and begin to talk to God. And to talk to God about your daily needs. Now we've been teaching our kids to pray for their daily needs. And it's awesome to watch a 3- and 4-year-old pray. I mean, they say like, the cutest little things, and it's just like almost so funny. I want to get a video camera out to watch my kids to videotape them praying because it's just so cute. But we were asking Bryn, our 3-year-old, what she wanted to pray about the other day, earlier this week actually, and she said, Daddy, I want to pray that I won't be afraid of the monsters. And she said, and then also I want to pray that I can poo-poo on the potty, you know? And Gina and I were like, amen, you know. We knew that was the will of God. You know, I was like, oh, yeah, that's beautiful. We definitely need to be praying about that. That may sound kind of silly, you know, like, well, you know, why do we want to bother God with that? But you know what's interesting is that in her three-year-old mind, that's really what her daily need was. I mean, that's really where she felt like she needed God's help. And so you may pray about some other things that are different from my three-year-old. I hope that you do, you know. But whatever your concerns are, bring them to God. You know, let Him intervene in your life accordingly. Don't depend on your own work for your own needs to see everything, because God's hand is the one that provides. And many of us don't have the things that we need because we're just simply not asking. You know, this is an amazing, vicious cycle. We get upset with God because we don't have what we think we need, but yet we don't ask. Does that make any sense? Or if we do ask, we just ask like one or two times, like just very quickly. The Bible teaches that persistent prayer is the prayer of power. Did you know that? In fact, Jesus gives several examples of this, and I'm not going to read the whole passages, but just for further thought, Luke 11:8 and Luke 18:5 are two stories about persistent asking. One is about a man that wakes up his next-door neighbor in the middle of the night asking him for bread to feed his out-of-town company. And the man says, go back to bed, man, it's late. The kids are tucked in, you're going to wake everybody up. Leave me alone. And the Bible says that he kept knocking and pounding on the door. Finally, the neighbor consented. And he was like, you know what? I'm just going to give you the bread to get you out of here. You're driving me crazy. And Jesus tied that in to persistent prayer. The other example in Luke 18:5 is the story of the persistent widow that begins to bother a judge about ruling in her favor. And she just is asking and asking and asking and asking. And finally, the judge just throws up his hands. He says, okay, I'll give you what you want. And the Bible says that's how we are to pray. Listen, you should almost get on God's nerves, okay, if that's possible, when it comes to being persistent about prayer. If you want to see prayer change everything, pray and don't give up. Keep praying about it. If you prayed about it once, pray about it again. Pray about it another time. You may need to pray about something for months and years. I don't know. But listen, we give up too easy. And I believe that God would just do some amazing things in your life if you would continually ask Him over and over and over again. Gina and I have celebrated 14 years of marriage this last summer, and I was thinking about this idea of persistent asking in light of our honeymoon. We went to Mexico, and I remember showing up at the airport. We were like a newlywed couple, and we did one of those all-inclusive deals, and everybody on the trip was a newlywed couple. They were all like couples like in their 20s, and they were drooling all over each other, you know. They were like sitting close and holding hands, and, you know, it was really sweet and warm and fuzzy at the airport that day because everybody had just gotten married and was going on their honeymoon together. And so I thought, you know what, this is like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I am going to go up to the front desk, and I'm going to ask them to upgrade me into first class. Now, this is back when airlines actually did that, okay? And so I walked up there, and I smiled real big, and I tried to bring the most charm, and I wanted to just woo the lady there working at the cabinet, and I don't remember exactly what I said, but I basically told her, just got married, would love to sit in first class. She said, well, let me check on that, Mr. Heller, and I'll get back with you. And so she went and talked to somebody, and she came back. And you know what? She actually did it. And so we were sitting in first class, and I thought, you know what? All these other couples are going to go up to the counter, and they're going to be asking the same thing. And we're probably going to have, like, first class is going to be packed out with all these little couples, and you know, it's just going to be great. We're going to have a great ride together. Well, we got on the airplane, and we started to take off, and I kind of looked around, and I realized that Gina and I were the only couple in first class. And I turned around and looked, and I saw all these other couples. They were all crammed into coach. You know, they were all sitting on top of each other like this. And I thought, you know what? We were the only ones that ask, you know? We're the only ones that ask. And we had great service. We had tremendous I had them bringing me like two or three chocolate fudge sundaes, you know, during the thing. I was loving life. I was like, sorry, suckers, you know, you didn't ask. I wonder how many times God wants to do things in our lives, but he's just waiting for us to ask. He's just waiting for us to be bold enough, to be audacious enough to say, God, here's what's going on. Here's what I need. God, here's what I'd like for you to do. I wonder what the Lord would do accordingly. And Luke 11 goes on and it says, what father among you, if his son asks him for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? In other words, we need to ask God. We just need to ask him. God promises to answer our prayers. And prayer has the potential to change everything. That's why we need to begin by praising God, magnifying his name, trying to discover his will. And then finally, in addition to praying for his will, we need to see God's provision. God's provision. And in doing so, we will have prayer lives that change our lives and the lives of the people around us. Let's just bow today for a word of prayer. Father, thank you today for your goodness and for your grace. We thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross to save us from our sins, to change us, to make us new. And God, our desire really is to just to know you and to walk with you each day in prayer. I pray you would convict us, Lord, where we have not prayed. I pray you would strengthen us in times we feel discouraged. And I pray you would give us that sense of hope and power that we need today as we walk with you and we follow you. And we pray these things all in Jesus' name. Amen.